We're joined by a certified sports legend, a former NFL executive. He is an author, revolutionary broadcast host, and all-around good guy that we love to talk with. The great Upton Bell joins us. Upton, good afternoon.
It feels like, Rich, that I'm on the old Edward R. Murrow show, where Murrow would be sitting there smoking a cigarette, talking to all the celebrities around the country. You got more damn celebrities than Edward R. Murrow, and believe me, he was the best. So it's a pleasure to be on here. Can I just say quickly, your buddy from Providence and ABC, not a clue. The reason the Bruins lost, the reason they lost wasn't Tuukka Rask. The first line did nothing. And the key mistake in the game is Marchand. I don't know what happened to him, but that second goal, I said immediately when I saw the second goal, I said, game over. Where was Marchand? It all hung on that one move, in my opinion, and people ought to get over it in England. Stop blaming Tuukka Rask for what happened. He got them there. You can't be great every night.
And actually, that was maybe the clip was misleading. That was also Nick's point completely, that they wouldn't have been in Game 7 without Tuukka. And he said the same thing as you. It was that second goal right before the end of the first period that was the backbreaker.
Well, here's something that was interesting and why I had an omen early in the day. I called Florida to my good friend, two-time Pulitzer Prize winner Paul Zepp, the great political cartoonist. He also, a lot of people don't know, was one of the best amateur hockey players in Canada and was probably going to go to the pros before he developed this great ability as a great draftsman. So I called him because he has friends in the National Hockey League, and I said, give me what's going to happen in the seventh game. Now, here it is. This is at 3:30 in the afternoon. He said, Upton, the Bruins are a better skating team. They are a better team. He said, but if St. Louis gets the first goal, he said, it's over. I said, one goal? He said, yes. He said, I'll tell you why. They're big. They're strong. They lean on you. They wear you down. They cut down that speed. And what they'll keep doing is they'll keep dumping the puck out, dumping it into your zone, and forcing you to keep having to bring it out of your zone and try to score, especially if you get behind. That's exactly. Once they got a 2-0 lead, that was really it. I mean, they didn't play any spectacular hockey. They just played their game. They kept the puck in the middle of the zone. They kept it down the other end. They took their time. And I said, there's no way, unless that first line does it. So how do you like that? Zepp had it exactly right about this team, and I think all of us, including myself. Actually, this is how stupid I look. I picked the Bruins at the beginning in four games straight. So there we go. That's what, to me, in some ways, makes hockey maybe the best playoff sport of them all.
Well, and I think what our friend Bob Ryan always says, I feel sorry for people who don't like sports because they don't get to enjoy the excitement of sometimes seeing that the best team doesn't always win. That's what makes sports exciting.
Well, that's what we learned in the last election. pardon the pun. And Ryan is right. You know, think about all the things in life, politics, art, everything, world affairs. It takes years to get a decision. Every night we could turn on some type of sporting event. There's always a final score. Your report card is in. In your business, you have to wait 3 or 4 months, and then you find out what the ratings are. You look at politics. Somebody runs, and he's in there for 6 years, or she's in there for 6 years, or 2 years, and they can do whatever they want, but they get no report card for a long time. Every night of the week, baseball, basketball, hockey, soccer, you name it, you get your report card. If you stink, the public sees it. If you're great, the public sees it. But it's down there on the bottom line, and that's what I love about life, and that's what I love about sports, and that's what Ryan loves.
We're talking with Upton Bell here on Person to Person. Oh, I'm sorry, Downtown. let's talk about the David Ortiz situation, because it's just a bizarre story. Some new information today being reported on CNN that perhaps Ortiz was not the target. But I don't know. To me, Upton, something is fishy in this whole story.
Well, and of course, nobody's going to touch it in Boston. He's a beloved figure in New England, and nobody, no matter what they did, unless they killed somebody or something, deserves to be, you know, somebody tried to assassinate them. But I'm going to look with real interest and see over the next month how this is reported. And I'm not talking about the sports writers, because this isn't their deal. They should stay out of it. But who is going to be the investigative reporter that takes a look at this? Now, the original story, and I'm sure your guys, and you have read it in the New York papers, was that a drug lord said that Ortiz was allegedly, and I say all of this allegedly because I'm just giving you what was in the New York papers, that allegedly he was having an affair with the drug lord's wife, and the drug lord allegedly again warned him and then got so angry, put a hit out on him. That might be all fiction. But the thing is, you have to really get to the bottom of this, because on one hand, if you're a beloved figure, that's one thing. On the other hand, if you put yourself in a position, even though it's awful, but if you defy somebody, and that country is so dangerous, and you've done something, and we don't know that yet. We don't know anything. But if you put yourself in that position and somebody tries to assassinate you, the story changes. It doesn't change how people think about Ortiz or love him or anything else like that. But let me reverse it, Rich, and ask you this. Let's say it's Joe Blow that played for the Celtics or the Red Sox or the Bruins or the Patriots. Let's say it's not the beloved David Ortiz. Do you think the story right now would be different? Do you think people would be digging, and you don't think innuendos would be around? And how would it be reported? If you're not beloved, and that's the interest figure, people give you the benefit of the doubt. If you're not a beloved figure, people want to know what the hell was going on there. And so that's, I think, going to be really fascinating. And, of course, your show can cover it every day. How is this going to end up? How is it going to be reported? Who's willing to step up if there's anything there? And that's a big if. And say our beloved figure got himself in trouble.
Well, and he's received a free pass on a few things over the years. There were times when he would call and argue with scorekeepers over rulings, and those things sort of got brushed aside, or people would say, oh, that's Big Poppy being competitive. If it had been a guy who hit 220, they would be all over him for that kind of thing.
Well, look at the difference. David Price, who came through in the World Series, David Price, he was excoriated here for a lot of different things. Big Poppy got off the hook on still, many people believe, that early on in his career, and that it was covered up, and the commissioner covered it up for him when he was, when he retired, that basically he was taking some form of banned steroid. I mean, it's on the list. It's there. But again, if it wasn't David Ortiz and that was reported, and it was, let's say, Manny Ramirez, what will we be saying today? So again, it's not so much David. My point is, one of the interesting things about sports and the politics too, and the entertainment business, is if you're loved, you get a pass. If you're not, you're crucified. So that's what it is.
Upton Bell with us here on Downtown. We're coming up on the 76th anniversary of one of the most, I think, unusual and interesting circumstances in all of professional sports history, and you know about it intimately, and I'm talking about the merger that your dad and Art Rooney put together of the Eagles and the Steelers, and when they became known briefly as the Steagles. Can you tell the story behind all of that?
Well, I can, and I will also say it's the 100th anniversary of the NFL. I hope to be speaking to their people about it, because I try to remind people that forget the past, that if Bert Bell didn't invent the draft, pro football, the NFL was going down. Three quarters of the teams were failing. And would have folded just like my league did, the World Football League, and everyone one of them did. But when he invented the draft, it saved professional football. Now, during the war, and again, Bert Bell was the one that stepped in, three-quarters of the league wanted to shut it down. They said, you know, it's World War II. Nobody's going to go to the games. Let's forget it. And Bert Bell said, listen, if you shut the NFL down, we will never reopen again. And he was right, because if they had shut it down, remember the All-America Conference, which they eventually merged with, that brought in the great Cleveland Browns or the 49ers, the Colts, they had formed. And so they would have been the only league in the end. You wouldn't know the NFL today. But to survive, and some people still haven't figured the whole thing out, Bert Bell and Art Rooney, who were great friends, they both came in with their franchises, the Steelers, which weren't originally called the Steelers, and the Eagles at the same time. During the war, to save money, they said, if we don't merge, we'll never survive. So what they did is they merged their players and played the full season. And there was another merger. Remember the Chicago Cardinals,
right,
also merged during that period of time. And again, I want to remind your audience of what it was like in those days to just survive. And you had John Eisenberg on in his great book on that, I call them the Fabulous Five, that really saved professional football. And that whole idea, they trained together, they had very, very small paychecks, but that's the only way that they survived. If they had merged both two great teams that went to as many Super Bowls, particularly the Steelers, they would not be in existence.
Did I see, Upton, that you were doing a podcast recently on the history of the National Football League?
Yeah, it's a three-part series that is a national podcast that takes a look. It's a two-hour look broken into three different parts, starting out with the early years when I lived in the hotels, and you and I have talked a little bit about it in my book, too, about living in hotels and different homes with 33 football players. That look at that, the survival right through the early years, some of the things, again, we've talked about. Then it jumps to the dramatic death of my father, and then my move on to the Baltimore Colts those years, then into the rest of my career, and particularly what it was like in the Wild World Football League, and then on to radio and TV the last 40 years. So it covers a lot of history that I couldn't get in the book. In fact, I'm looking at possibly doing a second book that will just take a look at the road trips that I took starting in 1964, driving all the way across the country before the superhighways and all of the other things that you see today, and having people take a look like the book Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance, which was a very famous book, taking a look at America. What was the South really like, as I try to explain in one of the chapters, The South is Burning, in my book? What was it really like? What was it like to stop in those little towns? What was the prejudice like? What were some of the great events that happened? And then moving across the country, what was the Wild West like? What was it all the way out to Portland, Oregon? All those stories, and I've even thought of a title to it called Trip to the Bountiful. What was America like? And I think, particularly at this time, Rich, and you do a lot of different people from all walks of life. I think at this particular crucial time in this country's history, with what's going on in Washington and around the world, we need to take a look at what our country was and what it is now and see, do we really like what we see now? And I'm not talking about all of the innovations and the internet and all of the things that have made us be able to communicate around the world. I'm talking about what has happened to America, and this is one of the ways that I'm thinking about, looking at it, what it was like then, what were the bad things, and what is it like today, and how far we really come.
Well, anybody who loves football and history needs to read your last book, Present at the Creation, an absolutely wonderful chronicle of the game, your life, your father, your mother. It's a wonderful book. And Upton, it's always a treat for us to talk with you. I hope we can do it again later in the summer and help celebrate the 100th anniversary, which I believe comes in mid-August.
Yeah, it does. So should I now address you as Edward R. Murrow?
You can do that. I don't know if I can start smoking this late in life, but I'll just cough a lot and I'll wear the white shirt and the tie.
All you have to do is say, "Hello, America. This is Rich Kimball. You're online."
I'm not in London, but Bangor, Maine is a close, close second to that. Upton, we thank you as always. Happy Father's Day to you. Have a wonderful weekend, and we'll talk soon.
You too. Thanks very much, Rich.
Thank
Enjoyed
you.
It.
The great Bye. Upton Bell on Downtown. Read his book, Present at the Creation. Check out that podcast, too. I mean, he's got so many great stories about the history of the National Football League and his involvement. Love talking with him.